Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, First Class, May 28th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. SOP called for a few moments of silent prayer. That gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing, worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this weekend is a true holiday. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. This is the Memorial Day weekend, and you have the privilege of assembling this evening in freedom. That freedom was purchased for you on battlefields. The principle of the Word of God is freedom comes through military victory. And I hope that each one of you have enough capacity to appreciate those who have served in the armed forces. Freedom comes through military victory. And in honor of that, I am going to recognize some visible heroes who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. First, I'd like to recognize M. Justice Chambers, Colonel, United States Marine Corps Reserve, 3rd Assault Battalion Landing Team, 25th Marines, 4th Marine Division, on Iwo Jima, Volcano Island, from 19 to 22 February, 1945. His citation reads, under a furious barrage of enemy machine gun and small arms fire from the commanding cliffs on the right, Colonel Chambers, at that time Lieutenant Colonel, landed immediately after the initial assault waves of his battalion on D-Day to find the momentum of the assault threatened by heavy casualties from withering Japanese artillery, mortar rocket, machine gun, and rifle fire. Exposed to relentless hostile fire, he coolly reorganized his battle-weary men, inspiring them to heroic efforts by his own valor and leading them in an attack on the critical, impregnable high ground from which the enemy was pouring an increasing volume of fire directly onto troops ashore, as well as amphibious craft and succeeding waves. Constantly in the front lines, encouraging his men to push forward against the enemy's savage resistance, Colonel Chambers led the 8-hour battle to carry the flanking ridgetop and reduce the enemy's fields of aimed fire, thus protecting the vital foothold gained. In constant defiance of hostile fire, while reconnoitering the entire regimental combat team zone of action, he maintained contact with adjacent units and forwarded vital information to the regimental commander. His zealous fighting spirit, undiminished despite terrific casualties and the loss of most of his key officers, he again reorganized his troops for renewed attack against the enemy's main line of resistance and was directing the fire of the rocket platoon when he fell critically wounded. Evacuated under heavy Japanese fire, Colonel Chambers, by forceful leadership, courage, and fortitude in the face of staggering odds, was directly instrumental in ensuring the success of subsequent operations of the 5th Amphibious Corps on Iwo Jima, thereby sustaining and enhancing the finest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. And for this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would also like to recognize this morning Ralph Chelle, Major, United States Army Air Corps, near Wewak, New Guinea, 18 August 1943. His citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity above and beyond the call of duty in action with the enemy, while Major Chelle was leading his squadron in a dive to attack the heavily defended Dagua airdrome, intercepting enemy aircraft centered their fire on his plane, causing it to burst into flame. While still 2 miles from the objective, his speed would have enabled him to gain necessary altitude so that he could parachute to safety. But he did not. This action would have resulted in his formation becoming disorganized and exposed to the enemy. Although a crash was inevitable, he courageously elected to continue leading the attack in his blazing plane. From a minimum altitude, the squadron made a devastating bombing and strafing attack on the target. The mission completed, Major Chelley instructed his wingman to lead the formation, and then he crashed into the sea. And for this, he was posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would also like to recognize this morning Ernest Childers, 2nd Lieutenant, U.S. Army, 45th Infantry Division, at Olivetto, Italy, 22 September 1943. His citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at risk of life above and beyond the call of duty." Although 2nd Lieutenant Childers previously had just suffered a fractured foot, with 8 enlisted men, advanced up a hill toward enemy machine gun nests. The group advanced to a rock wall overlooking a cornfield, and 2nd Lieutenant Childers ordered a base of fire laid across the field so that he could advance. When he was fired upon by 2 enemy snipers from a nearby house, he killed both of them. He moved behind the machine gun nest and killed all the occupants of the near one. He continued toward the second one, but they were down and he had to get them to stand up. So this is kind of like Sergeant York. He threw rocks into it. He threw rocks into the second machine gun nest, and up they come, and he shot one, and one of the men shot the other one. So, took them out. Second Lieutenant Childers continues his advance toward a house farther up the hill and single-handed captured an enemy mortar observer. The exceptional leadership, initiative, and calm, the calmness under fire, and conspicuous gallantry displayed by 2nd Lieutenant Childers were an inspiration to all of his men. And for this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. This is what makes America great. We have had many visible heroes that sacrificially served in the military forces. Many of them gave the supreme sacrifice willingly for a nation that they love, for a family that they love, for the freedom that they love. And now we have been blessed under that principle. Freedom comes through military victory. So when we come to Memorial Weekend, a true holiday, I know that many of you have the capacity to appreciate the freedoms that you have. Freedom isn't free. It's purchased on battlefields all over the world. All right. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, let's start at verse 18. So then, as through one transgression, Adam's original sin, there resulted condemnation to all mankind, so also through one act of righteousness, the salvation work of Christ on the cross, there resulted justification that brings eternal life to all mankind, those who believe in Christ. Verse 19, for just as through the disobedience of the one man, Adam, the many, the entire human race, were caused to be made sinners, so also, through the obedience of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the many, those who believe in Christ, will be caused to be made righteous. Verse 20. Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role in order that the transgression might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace increased in superabundance. Verse 21. So that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death, so also the grace of God might reign or rule through imputed righteousness. Now, we haven't exegeted the rest of the verse, but that's as far as we got. The grace of God reigns or rules in the life of the believer through the imputation of divine righteousness. You come to the cross, place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that instant, the justice of God imputes to you the righteousness of God, establishing a grace pipeline. We are all encapsulated by the integrity of God. Encapsulated. The justice of God on one end, imputed righteousness of God on the other end, and that establishes this fantastic grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessings. This is the security of grace blessings that come to you day after day after day after day. It's always there. That grace pipeline is always there. The security in you, each one of you, I take it that all of you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have that grace pipeline. You have the security of grace blessings from God to you day after day after day. It starts out with 40 salvation blessings. That happened instantly at the moment of faith in Christ. And then logistical grace, blessing, and support every single day of your life. No matter whether you're making a good decision to live the spiritual life or you've been testing out living in Satan's cosmic system. I was a few years ago teaching, and I was teaching about living in Satan's cosmic system and grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit and going through all the things that happen, self-induced misery, warning discipline, intensive discipline, dying discipline. Anyway, they peeled off. They reacted. They peeled off and went home and did all kinds of things. Well, time went by, a couple of months, and all of a sudden, here they come back in. He trotted down, came up all the way up here. He says, Pastor Olson, everything you taught about reversionism is true. I said, duh. I said, I didn't write it. I just teach it. And a change of mental attitude. Now, maybe some of you want to test the waters of the cosmic system. Just test to see what it's like to get into reversionism. But even at that, no matter where you are, living the spiritual life, living in the cosmic system, a baby believer, adolescent believer, mature believer, every single day God gives you logistical grace down that grace pipeline, day after day after day. And He keeps just tapping His foot, waiting for you to have the light go on and realize why you're here. We're not here that long. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we'll be there. You'll turn around and you're in heaven. But while you're here, what is God's plan, will, and purpose for your life? To live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. To grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. To have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, which motivates impersonal love for all. Impersonal love for all will solve every personal relationship problem, people problem you will ever, ever face or have. But you have to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, and then occupation with Jesus Christ. And what's the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ? Sharing the happiness of God. That's why you're here. And when you do that, you glorify God to the maximum. So I could say, why are you here? You could answer it correctly. To glorify God to the maximum. That's how. And then when you attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then comes greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing right here in time, and greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ for all eternity. And for these spiritually mature believers, they will glorify God for all eternity to the maximum. All eternity. When Jesus Christ is free to pour out these magnificent crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, they glorify the Lord, they glorify God forever and ever and ever. So, in our verse there, we actually had hina plus the subjective of the verb basileo, which introduces the purpose clause. And God's purpose and plan is now stated. The purpose of the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer is so that the grace pipeline might be established, resulting in grace reigning, ruling in the believer's life. Now, verse 21 goes on. In the King, we always start with the King James. Unto eternal life. This is the prepositional phrase, ace plus the accusative singular of zoe, modified by the accusative singular of ionios. Ace plus the accusative. Ace plus the accusative is sometimes it's a directional preposition toward. It also can mean because. And here it means because of. And then we have zoe modified by ionios. Z long O long E. Zoe, that's the word life. Modified by the adjective ionios. A-I long O-N-I-O-S. And that's the adjective that means without end or eternal. Without end or eternal. So, because of eternal life. Now, so far, so that just as the sin nature had basileoed, reigned or ruled in the sphere of spiritual death, so also the grace of God might basileo, reign, rule through the imputed righteousness because of eternal life. All right, a couple of things. One, in Romans 5:21, Paul is amplifying what he taught in Romans 5:17. So in Romans 5:21, Paul is amplifying what he stated in Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by means of the sin of one man, Adam, spiritual death ruled over mankind through the one, first class condition, and it does, much more the ones who receive the abundance of grace, even the gift of righteousness, God's imputed righteousness establishing the grace pipeline, will reign in the sphere of eternal life." And that one, we had have the preposition and plus a dative. And plus a dative is dative is sphere. In the sphere of eternal life. So, the Apostle Paul is now amplifying what he taught in Romans 5:17. Two, God's grace can reign precisely because it is the source of imputed righteousness and the gift of eternal life. God's grace can reign, basileo, precisely because it is the source of imputed righteousness and the gift of eternal life. To live with God forever in heaven, we have to have the right as good. We have to be as good as God is. That means we have to have the righteousness of God. And that comes through faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And we must have the life of God, which is eternal life. To live with God forever in heaven, we have to have the righteousness of God and the eternal life of God. So God's grace can reign precisely because it is the source of imputed righteousness and the gift of eternal life. Three, because we have an eternal relationship with God at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, it is possible for grace to rule forever in our lives. Because we have an eternal relationship with the living and true God at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, it is possible for grace to rule forever in our lives. Being encapsulated by the integrity of God means you have the security of grace blessings for the rest of your life and for all eternity. Four, grace will rule forever in our lives because of the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. Grace will rule forever in our lives because of the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness. Five. So, just as the sin nature is the ruler of human life, ruling through spiritual death, so also the grace of God rules through imputed righteousness because of eternal life. So just as the sin nature is the ruler of human life, ruling through spiritual death, so also the grace of God rules through imputed righteousness because of eternal life. Six, attitude toward Jesus Christ determines whether we have eternal life or not. Attitude toward Jesus Christ determines whether we have eternal life or not. Seven. A person has eternal life the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. A person has eternal life the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Turn over to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 3. John 3, we're going to start at verse 15. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding a Bible class. And in John 3:15, he says that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now look over at verse 36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Now that's John in the Gospel of John. Now turn over to the Epistle of John, 1 John 5. First John 5, starting at verse 11. It actually, in the Greek, starts out with this: faithful is the Word. Faithful is the Word. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has eternal life. How do you have the Son? By faith in Jesus Christ. He who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. So a person has eternal life the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. 8. Eternal life is imputed to the human spirit, which is created for you by God the Holy Spirit at regeneration. At the new birth, your spiritual birth, at the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So eternal life is imputed to the human spirit, which is created for you by God the Holy Spirit at regeneration. You're born again, new birth, spiritual birth. 9. Eternal life is only attainable in time. Eternal life is only attainable in time. And let's amplify that a little bit. Subpoint one. Eternal life can only be received while a person lives on earth in his temporal life, physical life here on earth. It can only be received while a person lives on earth in his physical life or temporal life. Two, you cannot receive the gift of eternal life once you die as an unbeliever. You cannot receive the gift of eternal life once you die as an unbeliever. I don't care how many candles are lit for you. There's no halfway house where you're being held until you finally get there. That is religion. That's not the Bible. There's nothing about that in the Bible at all. 3. Eternal life begins in time. You cannot get eternal life in eternity. You have to get it now. Now. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he, God, declares, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. That's Common Grace Ministry. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I know some of you have been here long enough, you've heard most of my illustrations. That there was a fella at Washington State University in my dorm, Stevenson South, and he was just an arrogant jackass. That's all you can say about him. And I gave him the gospel. God even died for arrogant jackasses. I gave him the gospel. And he said, "Oh, Olson, that's for old people. When I'm an old man rocking in my rocking chair on the porch, well, then come and talk to me, and then maybe I'll consider." I said, "How do you know you're going to be an old man? You might die tonight." "Oh, Olson." Well, Pullman, Washington State University, is right next to Moscow, Idaho, University of Idaho. So he went with a bunch of his buddies over to Idaho, and they got plastered, drunk, and they're coming back home, and as they're coming home, somebody in the other lane they were going to have a head-on collision. They thought they were all going to die. The other guy veered off the road, and they didn't. That night, he didn't even wait till the next day. That night, he came, I get knock, knock, knock. "Olson, how did you know I might die tonight?" I said, "Well, it's a gift." I said, I didn't. But I said, "None of us know. None of us know how many days we have here." He said, "Will you tell me again? I want you to tell me again about how I can know that if I die, I'll be in heaven." So I gave him the gospel again. He believed in Jesus Christ. It'll be fun to see him in heaven. We can probably reminisce on some of those things. Now, eternal life begins in time. You cannot get eternal life in eternity. You have to get it now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Subpoint 4, there is only one way to receive the grace gift of eternal life, and that is faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Point 10. The gift of eternal life belongs only to the believer in Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life belongs only to the believer in Jesus Christ. The unbeliever does not have the grace gift of eternal life. John 3:18, John 3:36, which we already noted. Eternal life is a technical phrase related only to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life begins the moment we believe in Christ, and we will have this eternal life forever. Once you receive the gift of eternal life at salvation, faith in Christ, you have eternal life forever. And you can never lose your eternal life. You have the gift of eternal life. Now, this is a deep point, but eternal means eternal. And I hear a lot of false doctrine you can lose your salvation. You got to hold on. You're sliding off the roof. Got a hole. If you lose your salvation after, some of you, if you could lose it, you would have lost it after 3 minutes after you're saved. But if you could lose your salvation after a day or a week or a year or 10 years, that's not eternal life. You have the gift of eternal life forever and ever and ever. Now we go on. We're going to finish the exegesis of verse 21. I promise. I said finish the exegesis, not finish everything else. By Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive singular of Jesus Christos, plus the genitive singular of kurios with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. Well, you've been here, those have been here, you know about dia plus the genitive. D-I-A, dia plus the genitive is by means of, through. You have dia plus the accusative, it's on account of, because of. But we have dia plus the genitive. And that means instrumentality. By means of, through. By means of who? Jesus Christos. I long E-S-O-U-S, Jesus. Christos, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-S. Jesus Christ, through the instrumentality, through the agency of Jesus Christ. And then we have something else about Jesus Christ. He is tu kuriou hemon. Tu kuriou hemon. All right, this is kurios in the genitive case there. T-O-U, that's the genitive form, and then kurios, K-U-R-I-O. But we have it in the genitive, so tu kuriou. But then we have a personal pronoun. A personal pronoun, ego, in the plural. And that is, there's the letter H breathing over the word, H. Long E-M, long O, and hamon. And that you translate it, our Lord. Every person who believes in Jesus Christ is our Lord. Instantly, right at that time, He's our Lord. And the genitive case is the genitive of possession. You possess the Lord Jesus Christ, and He always is your Lord. From salvation forever and ever and ever. There never will be a time when He's not your Lord. He is our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, that finishes the exegesis. We'll give you a break and let you have about 15 minutes or so, and then we'll be back for part 2.